We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. I have loved marching through the book of Luke with you, verse by verse, line by line, and just learning the heart of our Savior, who He is, what He's like, what He did, who He spent time with, what He taught. And today is one of my, John Sager, this is one of my favorite passages. But I have not written a song about it. But there is a song about it. Some of you may know it. But before we dive in, let's prepare our hearts. We're going to look at a sinner that has been redeemed. Every one of us in this room are sinners that need redemption. We're sinners by nature. It's at the core of who we are. But even after being set free by God from the power, from the condemnation of sin, from the blindness of being dead, even when God makes us alive, we still, everyone in this room, struggle against temptation, right? So what's your flavor? What is it that you seem to struggle the most with, that seems to tempt you the most? For some of us, it's trying to find identity. Who am I? What's my life going to be about? What do other people think about me? Some of us, we want fame. Maybe not even the power that comes with it. We just want to be loved or wanted. Some of us, it is more than fame. It's where we want power. We want position. We want purpose in those ways. Some of us just trying to numb it all, and we seek pleasure. And you can seek pleasure in any number of what we might call addictions. What's your flavor? And why? What are we trying to get out of the sin that leads us away from God? What is it that we're looking for even beyond the temporal sin? Well, let's say it this way. What is it that sin is promising you, but it actually never delivers? So we're going to look at a man today that is characterized at the beginning of the story in one way. But when he meets Christ, even in the short 10-verse story, his life is completely different. Just a few verses later. I would submit to you that Zacchaeus, and hey, when you're at the workplace this week and you're trying to tell people this story, and if you can't pronounce Zacchaeus, much less try to spell it, just call him Zach. It'd be all right. Zacchaeus was rich and had position and was greedy and was a thief. An extortioner. He was a turncoat. He betrayed his own people to work for the enemy. He was not liked. But Jesus came for him. I love that. He's not who we would have went after probably. But he's who Jesus was after. Now remember in this section of Luke, we're toward like the last few days of Jesus' life on earth, okay? Still got several chapters to go. But like he's about to what we call the triumphal entry. He's been on his way to Jerusalem for at least 3 months now. And there's this growing mob of people that are migrating with Jesus to Jerusalem. It's the time of the Passover when everybody would go to Jerusalem. They would go up to Jerusalem. And Jericho is on the way. Last week we saw Jesus. heal the blind man that was outside of the walls, outside of the city gate of Jericho. Last week we saw how Jesus told everyone, well, not everyone, his disciples, the 12, that he was going to go to Jerusalem and accomplished everything the prophets wrote about him, that he was going to be betrayed, that he was going to be mistreated, that he was going to be shamefully treated, spit upon and beaten and killed. But he told him also, 3 days later, he was going to rise from the grave. All of that is just a few days. We're just a few days now in this story from the cross. Keep that in mind. Luke 19, verse 1. He, that's Jesus, entered Jericho. You ever heard of Jericho? We sang about it. He was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. I told y'all you couldn't spell it. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. You know what that means? He was too short to see over the crowd. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Y'all remember that story, song? Verse 4. He had a plan. So he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he took his time. Wait, that's not what it says. What does it say? Verse 6. So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Who do you think they is? The crowd. They're grumbling. Some of your translations may say complained or murmured. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Can you see them looking down their noses? Verse 8. I was going to say Zacchaeus flips the script, but actually Jesus did it. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, behold, what did he say? What did he call Jesus? Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That's a lot. And if I've defrauded anybody of anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. I'm going to pay him back four times. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Lord, right now, we come before you, every one of us, needy sinners. We have all fallen short. We have all gone astray. We are all guilty. Lord, we give in to temptation. We chase lies. We fall prey. And God, we want to know you. We want to see you for who you are. Lord, help us to be a people of repentance, a people characterized by faith in you, a people of glad surrender, people of joyfulness and victory. God, today, for those in this room that may not know you, Lord, would you open their eyes to see your glory? God, would you make them like Zacchaeus, to seek you, to know you, to see you. And God, would you transform their hearts today? Lord, for those of us who know you, we still get tempted. Help us to see the lies of sin and to repent daily and follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that when we couldn't get to you, you came to us. Thank you, Lord, that you took our sin on the cross and you gave us your righteousness. Would you help us today to want to walk in that for your glory? God, would you open our eyes to see your truth in your word? It has to be you. I'm praying right now you do for every person in this room exactly what they need you to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Such a great story. Can you picture it? Jesus enters into Jericho and he's passing through. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Great crowd. The word for crowd can mean multitude. Hundreds, if not thousands of people pilgrimaging with him now on their way to Jerusalem. He just healed the blind man and everyone's rejoicing in what God has done. And they enter in the gates. And there's this guy named Zacchaeus. Here's what we know. He's short. I mean, he's too short to even hop and see over the crowd. And he wants to see who this Jesus is. The word said he's seeking Jesus. He's seeking to see who Jesus is. The crowd don't like him. As you know, they're not very fond of tax collectors. Even worse than today. Tax collectors were notorious in that time of skimming off the top and padding their pockets. He's taking money from his people and giving it to the enemy, but he's also keeping some for himself, and he's rich. He's got status, at least not with the Israelites, but in Rome. He's got position. He's got power. He's not just a tax collector, but he's a chief tax collector. Jericho was an important trade city. There would have been a lot of commerce, resources, and wealth. There would have possibly been other tax collectors that he was overseeing even in the region. So he's got status. He's got wealth. He's rich. But obviously he's not satisfied. I wonder if Zacchaeus, when he was a wee little kid, thought, man, if I could just be a chief tax collector one day, I would have arrived. I wonder if he thought, man, if I just had more money, I'm going to be good to go. He's greedy. Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. He doesn't just earn a good living, but he steals from others, and they can't do anything about it. He's got the Roman guards at his disposal to protect him as he extorts others. This is Zacchaeus before he meets Jesus. We all are searching for identity. We're all looking for purpose. And a lot of us seek pleasure. I think that if this were today, some of us would want to be like Zacchaeus was. We would want the clout. We would want the position. We would want the authority. We would want the wealth. He would have lived a comfortable life. Here's my question to you. What is it? What is it for you that made all those empty promises for pleasure and for purpose? Have you got to the point yet where you realize it's all vanity? See, Zacchaeus found out that this stuff is vanity, doesn't satisfy, doesn't last. And so this guy they call Jesus of Nazareth, This guy who calls himself the Son of Man, which is a messianic title. This guy who others call the Son of David, which is a messianic title, is coming through his city, and he just wants to see him. Y'all, he was a man of clout. Men didn't run, boys run. Men didn't climb trees, boys climb trees. But Zacchaeus, caught up in the moment, can't see over the crowd, so he computes a plan. Okay, if I just run ahead, he's going in this direction, I'll run ahead and I'll climb up in the tree and I'll just at least get a glimpse of what he looks like when he walks by. Can you imagine how dumbfounded he was when Jesus stopped at the foot of the tree that he had climbed thinking he was seeking Jesus? And can you imagine how much more surprised he was when Jesus didn't say, "Hey, shorty, come on down. What's up, old man? What you doing in a tree? Hey, you, why are you up there? What are you seeking to see?" That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus." Now, wait a minute. According to the context of this story, I don't think Zacchaeus and Jesus had ever met. How did Jesus know his name? The same word for seek is used twice. One, to show that Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus, but two, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I submit to you that day, the only reason Zacchaeus climbed that tree is because Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus way before Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful? Zacchaeus called him by name. Hurry! Make haste! Come down! Why? For I must stay in your house today. Do you know, I learned something this week. The word for stay, I must stay in your house, is could be translated dwell. Could be translated abide. It's the same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 15, verse 5. If any man abides in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. It's to be connected, like in the vine and the branch, to be connected. It's to live together. I'm going to stay in your house today, Zacchaeus. I'm going to join up with you today, Zacchaeus. Can you imagine the excitement? Not just, hey, how's this guy know my name? But he wants to come and be my guest. Like, this is the most honorific opportunity. I get to host Jesus. How amazing for Zacchaeus. So, I think Luke worded it perfectly. Everything Jesus said, do, hurry and come down. Zacchaeus did. It said, he hurried and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. Something's happening right now in Zacchaeus' heart. And they walked together. Remember, this is 10 verses, bullet points, if you will. They had to walk together to Zacchaeus' house, and you know what Jesus did everywhere he went? He preached the kingdom of God. He called sinners to repentance. He showed Zacchaeus who he was. And they get to Zacchaeus' house and the crowd. There's people there that know who Zacchaeus is and what he's like. And they're beginning to grumble, murmur. There's this buzz in the crowd. What's he doing? Why Zacchaeus? Does he not know that Zacchaeus is a sinner? Jesus has gone to be a guest of a man who is a notorious sinner. He's taking money from all of us. Why is he with him? And Zacchaeus probably hears the murmur. And he stands up to make an announcement. He's talking to Jesus, though, above the murmur. Behold, Lord. Now, the word Lord could be used as a dignitary, like sir, but it's often in the New Testament used to describe who God is. And I think Zacchaeus gets it because I see his life get turned upside down by his introduction to or his interaction with Jesus. Lord, it means master. It means sovereign. It means boss. When we call Jesus Lord, it's not meant to be lip service. It's meant to mean surrender. You're the boss, and I'm not. It's like saying there's a throne in my heart. I'm coming off the throne, and Jesus, I want you Lord over everything that I am. Every area of my life is submitted to your lordship. Behold, Lord, I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. Well, that doesn't sound like greed. That sounds like generosity. That doesn't sound like I'm clinging to my riches so much that I want to be rich so bad that I'm going to steal to be more rich. By the way, if you're looking for riches to find pleasure, you'll always be looking. Ultimate pleasure and satisfaction is never there. How much is enough? Just a little bit more. Problem is, you could always have a little bit more. Zacchaeus went from trying to get a little bit more to find his purpose and pleasure to giving away half of everything he had accumulated to the poor. It's called transformation. It's called surrender. It's called generosity and worship and compassion. It comes from a transformed heart. That's what Jesus does when we meet him. When we come to know him. When we put our faith in him and not ourselves or not our stuff, he transforms our hearts. And then he doesn't stop there. And I kind of wonder if the people in the crowd were like, well, good for the poor, but dude, you stole 500 bucks from me. What you going to do about that? The Mosaic law, the most strict or the highest restitution was 4 times. He probably could have got away with paying back a smaller percentage. But he said, and if I have extorted anyone, I'm going to pay him back 4 times. If he stole 100, they got back 400. That's restitution. I never thought about it as restitution. I was doing the study with some men in jail, and we were talking about how Jesus had changed Zacchaeus' life. And I was seeing it as surrender. I was seeing it as repentance. And a guy said, that's restitution. He's making it right. He didn't just pay him back. He paid him back with big interest. Changed heart. I don't need it anymore. That's not what I'm finding my identity in anymore. That's not what I'm seeking for pleasure anymore. That's not what I'm seeking for my position or even my comfort, my security. His security wasn't in his resources anymore. His security was in Jesus. He didn't need it. So he paid back everybody 4 times, and he gave away half of what he had to the poor. Big day for Jericho. Hoorah for Jesus. Zacchaeus met Jesus, and his life was turned upside down. Have you met Jesus? Have you called him Lord? Have you seen the emptiness of whatever it is that you were looking for to find purpose and to find satisfaction and to find hope and joy and confidence? Have you submitted to him and said, you're the Lord of my life. I want to follow you now. And like Zacchaeus, it's repentance. I'm putting my faith in Christ and I'm turning back to God, and I'm not living the way I used to live. Now, I love the way the story unfolds. Jesus stands up and he addresses Zacchaeus and he says, today, salvation has come to this house. You too are a son of Abraham. Who is Abraham? There's another song you might learn. Father Abraham had many sons. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. Remember way back in Genesis? If you hadn't read Genesis lately, go back and read it. There was a guy named Abram. And God called Abram to follow him to the land that he would show him. And he promised him, even though he was way up in age, that his descendants were going to be multiplied like the sand on the earth. And Abraham, by faith, followed God. He didn't say, follow me to this exact place. He said, just start walking with me and I'll tell you when to stop. Abraham had faith in God. He left his homeland. He left the false gods of the land. He left his family and he took off walking and he followed God. Abraham was justified by faith, even before the law was given to the Jewish people. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation through whom Jesus, the Savior, would be ushered into this world. Zacchaeus also, even though he was a turncoat, even though he was a tax collector, even though he was public enemy number one in Jericho, Zacchaeus was also a child of Abraham, but not just Jewish. A son of the promise. All who put their faith in Jesus are coming under the sonship of Abraham. That's an amazing thought. That's an amazing thought. Jesus came not just to the religious elite. He came for the down and out. He came for those that nobody else wanted. Here's a question for you. Why were they grumbling? Why was the crowd grumbling? Partly because of Zacchaeus. But also they're grumbling about Jesus going and spending time with Zacchaeus. Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't swayed by popular opinion? Aren't you glad that he doesn't avoid us because of what other people think about us? The people in the crowd that looked down their nose at Zacchaeus were just as much sinners as Zacchaeus, but they were self-righteous. They didn't recognize their need for a Savior. They thought that they had it all together. They could look down on Zacchaeus and call him a sinner without realizing they were hypocrites. They were religious, but they needed a Savior just as much as Zacchaeus. But on that day, one sinner was saved. On that day, at the very end of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, he had one more lost sheep to find. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." To be lost is to be separated from God. To be lost is to be blind for what we are called to. To be lost is to be in need of being found. I remember when I met a guy in jail, I was able to share the gospel with him. And he was like, "Bro, I tried that stuff. It don't work." This guy had like 20-something felonies. He called the chaplain, that's me, to see him, to tell the judge, "Don't let me out. Don't let me out. I don't want to go back to doing what I was doing. You let me out, I'm going to go do what I was doing. Just leave me in jail. What are you thinking?" And I shared the gospel, and I shared my testimony. I shared about how God can transform lives. And he's like, "I've heard it. I've tried it." I said, "Do me a favor. Go to church tonight. I have some buddies that are going to come, and they're going to be sharing the gospel, and they're going to be sharing their testimony." Slim and Guy and Forrest got to go that night, and they shared what God was doing in their life and how God had been transforming their homes. And this guy that I'm talking about thought, "You know what? Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe God could change my life." And he happened to be reading. I say happened like there's no happenstance. If God's sovereign, right? Everything matters. This guy's reading in jail a book by a dude named Andrew Murray. You could find all kind of garbage in jail. But it surprised me when I found out he was reading Andrew Murray. And Andrew Murray said in this book, if you think you came to God but never intended to change, you didn't truly repent. And this guy said it was like a light switch went off. He said, I don't even know exactly how it happened. But if I did, I'd run around flipping the light switch for everybody in the pod. Because they need to know that Jesus can save them. And God turned this dude's life upside down. He's a work in progress. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. He's a knucklehead. But that day, Jesus was seeking him. And Jesus flipped that light switch and it all made sense. He realized, yeah, I had said prayers, but I never really intended to change. That's not repentance. Repentance is this. God, I'm going the wrong way and it's not working. And I don't want to go this way anymore, but I don't have the power to stop. So, Lord, would you please take my life and just do whatever you want. I surrender. I submit. You're the Lord and I'm the follower. I need you to change my heart. I need you to change my direction. I want to change, but I can't do it. But if you'll help me, I will. That's repentance. That's faith. So here's my question. Has there been a time in your life that you truly repented? I'm not talking about lip service. Jesus sees straight through lip service, right? We might have grown up in church believing these things. Guys, when I came to Christ, I was 22 years old. I can't remember a time in my life that I didn't believe in Jesus. But I surely didn't follow him and I didn't love him. And then my buddy Dusty came to share the gospel with me. And it's just like God flipped the switch and I got it. I'd been trying to clean my life up so I could go to church and not feel guilty. I thought that I was seeking God. But it turns out he was seeking me. And when he got a hold of me, he absolutely turned my life upside down. It's like night and day difference. Just like what he did in Zacchaeus' life. At the beginning of the story, rich chief tax collector, greedy, trying to find purpose in all the wrong things. And the next thing you know, he comes face to face with Jesus, and Jesus turns his life upside down. Has that happened to you? Now here's the deal. If you're in this room and it has, I don't want you to think that this message is not for you too, because repentance is not just for lost people. The gospel's not just for lost people. In this church, we say we are living the gospel life. What that means is, I can't do it. I need God. And I rely on him to do what I can't do in me. It means I live life trusting in the gospel. I live life trusting in the power of God. I live life submitted and surrendered. And when I get off track, and I will, I promise you, you will too, I repent and turn back. Every moment of every day, I'm seeking to live surrendered to God. And every moment of every day, I'm tempted to not. I'm tempted to doubt his goodness. I'm tempted to think that my way's better. I'm tempted to chase after things that lure me away. And when I give in, I got to repent back to God. Lord, I turn back. I turn back. I need you. I want you. Whatever this sin is, it's not good enough and it's never going to be. Me and Megan were listening to, she's doing these courses for counseling. And the professor was making the illustration that when we repent, it's like saying to our sin, I am breaking up with you. I don't want you anymore. I'm turning from that sin back to God again and again and again. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. What is it? What is it? What are the sins that tempt you to doubt God's goodness the most? What are the things that you just keep tripping on? What are the lies that you're believing that would cause you to chase anything but Jesus? Will you turn away from that today? I know you don't have the power to do it in yourself. But would you ask Jesus to give you the power to trust Him and to surrender again and again? Would you ask Jesus to be on the throne of your heart? Would you repent and believe that Jesus is good and better than any sin out there? Would you resolve to live for Him and His glory, to follow Him? He came to seek and save the lost. One more way I think this applies. Would you seek to be like Jesus, not just Zacchaeus? If you've been saved, then you have been enlisted. You've been called, not just called, you've been invited. You have been gifted the stewardship to be on mission with Him, to seek and to save the lost. Who in your life needs to know Jesus? Yesterday we had an evangelism training. John and Slim encouraged us to abide in Christ, to follow Jesus, and to fish for men. They challenged us to make a list of at least 5 people that are lost, people that we're close to, but that are far from God, and to pray for them every day by name until they come to Christ, and to seek to share the gospel with them. Would you do that today? Would you say, God, who in my life do you want me to seek? I will forever be grateful that even though Dusty was terrified, even though he was a brand new Christian, he was obedient to share the gospel with me the night that I got saved. He prayed for me. When God sent him to me, he prayed all the way to my house, God, I'm scared, help me. Lord, I don't know what to say, help me. Every word he said penetrated my heart, because he didn't come in his own power. He came in the power of God. Would you commit to be a people of repentance and faith? A people that turn from sin daily back to Jesus. A people that find your hope and your power in Christ. And would you commit to be a people that join Jesus to seek and to save the lost? And if we will, what might God do through a church like that? Lord, would you please draw people to yourself today? Those that may not know you, God, flip the switch. Open their eyes to see your glory. Show them the futility of their sin. Break us, God. Break us of trusting anything other than you. Teach us to treasure you above all things. God, make sin just nasty in our sight, despicable. Show us the emptiness of it and the destruction of it. Make it taste bad to us, God. Lord, help us to find joy in you, purpose and pleasure. God, teach us to hunger for you and to turn to you daily. Break our hearts for the lost around us and make us a people that walk by faith and not by fear. Use us, God, to seek and save. In Jesus' name we pray.